They may not be in the power conference, but that doesn't mean they don't have talent. We're diving through some of the biggest names to watch amongst the mid-majors. Let's party. Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf, joined as always by Tyler Rucker. Rucker, how are we doing?
Metcalf, better now that I'm talking hoops with you, sir. Almost the end of the week, I guess, as people will be hearing this. It is the end of the week, yeah, but we had preseason.
The calendar works.
Yeah, that is usually how the calendar works. We had preseason basketball on today. You know, it's funny when preseason, the first game, I feel like it's just something I have to have on in the background, and I don't watch a second of it until like later in the evening. But it's just when it's live, I'm just like, oh, it just feels right hearing basketball commentary in the background. It's the same way I feel about the Hall of Fame football game. Won't watch a second, but just put it on the background while I'm, you know, cooking or anything. How are we doing, sir?
Fantastic. Fat Bear Week is over. Big update. Trunk won. Real upset story. One with the broken jaw. So like if you see a picture of him and like the right side of his jaw is hanging down, it's because he broke it in a fight. They didn't think he would even be able to make it to hibernation, and here he is winning Fat Bear Week. Just generational work ethic, commitment to the game, type of stuff. And I think they said he weighs like 1200 pounds. Just insane stuff to do with a broken jaw. Goofy looking dude. And the Cubs are in the playoffs and currently winning, so fingers crossed.
Who cares about that? We need more Fat Bear updates. I need Fat Bear to be a segment.
Well, they're going to bed soon, so
can we get a yearly Fat Bear Week? That would be great.
I'm just going to pivot No Ceilings as a company into covering Fat Bear Week.
So. I'm in. I have ideas. Let's run with it. Plenty of Fat Bear stuff. I mean, I also feel like at two more weeks, I might be pulling the office meme where I'm like, can you shut up about the sun? Like, can you shut up about that?
It's a week. I am done after this.
But every time you bring up an update, I'm like, this is hilarious. So I'm in. It's great. Fat Bear Week. Shout out. Unbelievable. Yeah, what a year.
Shout out Chunk. Legendary stuff from him.
All right. Just like Fat Bear Week. It's the
I know. I was like, all right. So it'd be a great nickname, Fat Bear, for a hefty center, but probably not the most flattering. After they would get on board with that, so I'll refrain. But we're continuing our conference preview stuff. But before we dive into that, quick bit of housekeeping. Steven had a really fun high school piece. He was in person the other week and wrote up his findings and takeaways on it. Nathan is starting his big question series with young cores in the NBA. I just submitted a handful of pieces on Dwayne Aristodwin, Koa Pete, Nehemiah Turner, whole bunch of stuff going up over at NoCeilingsNBA.com. Make sure to check it out. Team's doing awesome work as always. And then also Rucker and I are starting a 30 and 30 series over on the No Ceilings YouTube channel. So make sure to go over there, subscribe every morning for the 30 days leading up to opening day of college basketball. We're going to be hitting you guys with a quick 5 to 10-ish minute video, breaking down players, giving you strengths, weaknesses, improvement areas, expectations, with our opinions. And then also a whole bunch of numbers, measurements, film, all that good stuff as well. So make sure to check that out. They won't be released in a specific order in terms of our rankings, so don't get too up in arms if a guy comes out too early or too late. But 30 days, 30 prospects should be fun.
Yeah, it's been it was a project I wanted to do this offseason, kind of brought it up to Metcalf after we recorded an episode, and I was like, I have this idea, wanted you to tell me, what do you think? And he's like, I'm in. I was like, oh, okay. And so now we've kind of turned it into our own format. It's turned out great so far. So I'm really pleased with it. Thank you for Metcalf for jumping in to do it with me. It's unique. It's different, but it's also going to give some similar vibes to shout out to the old Box and One Spins. I think people are going to like it a lot, and I think it's got a lot of potential to keep blossoming. So it's been a fun project, Metcalf. I had a lot of fun doing that, and Man, it's scary also to say that out loud of like, oh yeah, there's 30 days coming up until college draft season's back, baby. So I'm so pumped. Like, let's just get going, ready to roll.
And roll is exactly what we're going to do. And that's right into our first team, San Diego State Aztecs. Our past conference preview episodes have been a little more structured. We're not going every single mid-major conference. Sorry, folks. We're going to hit the big ones. And I think one of the biggest ones to keep an eye on, especially from a draft standpoint, is San Diego State with two big-name returners, two guys that I was actually pretty surprised both decided to return, whether, you know, staying in the draft or transferring. I didn't think either would be back at San Diego State this year, but here we are in Magoo Nguath and Miles Byrd. Also have a really intriguing incoming freshman point guard in LZ Harrington, ended up, I believe, at 71 on ESPN's top 100. Where do you want to start with San Diego State?
I feel like let's start with Miles Byrd because Magoon's going to probably get some lengthy discussion. I mean, they both probably are, but where are you at with Byrd coming into this year, the Birdman?
I was not as into him last year as a lot of the online draft community was. Mm-hmm. I got the intrigue. You know, the defensive playmaking stuff was insanely good. And his block rate of 4.9, steal rate of 4.3 as a 6'7 wing, really, really good stuff. But the flip side of that is that he was incredibly undisciplined and gambled and jumped at everything. So it's like, all right, cool. Well, you're getting a ton of blocks and steals, but on those possessions where you're not, you're either fouling the guy or taking yourself out of the play by missing the pass entirely or leaping at a shot fake that gives your guy a wide open jumper or layup. So the numbers I thought were really impressive, but also incredibly misleading.
Yeah, it was Miles Byrd for me last year was kind of like I was at, you know, a barbecue and just was like the most thirsty I've ever been. And it was just a tub of Kool-Aid. And I was like, you could either have that or nothing. I was like, all right, I'll drink the Kool-Aid. Like, I just kind of jumped in on that. I got the intrigue right away because you watch clips of him and early you're like, oh, I get it. This floor spacing, skinny, lengthy defensive 3 and D. This could be fun. Mm-hmm. Then we saw the shot start to struggle and you're like, now what is it? And that gets like, it's just, I have a lot of questions with the in-between game. So I think this is a gigantic year for him. I thought this was going to be a guy that, like you said, was going to declare. Cause I thought he could have been a little bit of a sneaky guy to get up the ranks. Maybe it even
certainly seemed like he wanted to.
Seemed like it. So going to be really interesting to kind of see where he's going to take that game to at San Diego State this year. Cause I also just don't know if this is a guy that's like going to take that big step when it comes to like, give me the ball more often. I think I need him to be just more efficient this year and consistent with that shot.
Yeah. I just need him to make shots. Like, yeah. I know. Yeah. It'd be awesome if he turned into this dynamic on ball creator, but I don't really think that's going to be the case, but 30% from three on almost 12 attempts per 100 possessions. That's a tough ratio. 38th percentile on all jumpers, 38th percentile shooting off the catch, 36th percentile shooting off the dribble, and 22nd percentile spotting up per our friends at Synergy. Those aren't good enough numbers for a guy who's not a primary playmaker or primary decision maker. Like, if you're going to be an off-ball wing, that is not acceptable stuff. So, and offensively, I just need the guy to make shots.
Yeah, I mean, he was starting to really buzz in December. He had a 5-game stretch where he was averaging 13-4-2 with a steal per game on 40-47-94. And I think everyone was like, well, what if he shoots it? You know, obviously he's a little bit of just a chucker from outside, more of like he's a perimeter wing. Mm-hmm. But what if he's a legit floor spacer? Then he has a solid January, averages 15, 3, 2, and almost 3 steals a game with a block, but it's on splits 39, 35, 73, and then just the next month, his splits 31, 16, 83. He averaged only 9 points per game. You just quickly kept waiting for it, like the roller coaster. You kept waiting for it to go back up, and it just like seemed like it never did. So it was a weird lasting taste in the mouth of, I feel like, evaluators, where you're like, oh man, you're just hoping he had the solid 5-game stretch to end the year. I don't know. I just think he was also a guy I thought that was going to transfer 100%. I thought he was just going to transfer, or if he didn't stay in the draft, I was like, he's going to transfer going back to San Diego State. I was like, okay. So I think weirdly, Metcalf, I'm kind of going into this season when it comes to Miles Byrd with a completely open mind. Cause it's a weird feeling. You know what I'm trying to like get at? It's like, it seems like he had a kind of a wash year in a weird way, where you're just like, you showed me something, but you also got cold.
Yeah, so it's like I think
the same thing, or
I didn't get excited enough last year to feel hurt about it. That's and you know, they were like, you know, there were rumblings of, you know, a potential injury midway. So it's like, oh, okay, now we have an excuse for the jumper. Love that. Now it's like, all right, well, another year, maybe you take on more responsibility. Maybe you do take on more playmaking. Maybe the defensive processing speed and decision making does improve. And now the tools and the flashes and the intrigue and some of the impressive numbers that we saw last year start to mold into a really productive winning player, because I think the tools are there. And just, you know, so I don't come across totally negative, there is some really exciting stuff as for him as like a second side, secondary, tertiary creator running off screens and handoffs and stuff. Because he did rank in the 73rd percentile in scoring as a pick and roll ball handler. That jumped to the 84th percentile when you factor in his passes in those possessions, and the 82nd percentile in scoring and handoffs. So when you put him in motion, or those, you swing the ball to him and run an empty corner handoff, or, you know, pick and roll or something, I think there are some encouraging signs of him being able to get to his spots, make the right play for him or his teammates. But what stems a lot of that is defenders feeling like they have to guard him out behind the arc or near the arc, and not just going under every screen and, you know, daring him to shoot. So again, you know, we always say we hate when evaluations boil down to, well, he's kind of got to shoot it, but as an off-ball wing, you kind of got to shoot it.
Yeah. And my problem with Miles Byrd is I like the idea, but like, gosh, this is going to sound bad. Anytime I'm evaluating someone that is just clearly skinny and the long shirt is the long sleeves is the biggest, I know what you're doing when you wear long sleeves. You're hiding that frame. So what I'm getting at is like, if you're very thin, 6'7" wing, you got to do something other than shoot. Because when the shot's gone, what are you doing on the court? Now, everyone would be like, hey, you can really play some good defense. That's fine. But offensively, what is he doing? We'll get to that if you want. But what does he do offensively if he's not shooting threes?
I think there's some potential passing stuff. But
yeah, I just think like he's not a threat.
No.
So it's not even just like, hey, the shot's got to come down. Because when I first watched Miles Byrd last year, like, oh, he's pulling. Yeah. I'm like, okay, he could shoot it a little bit. He's got this lefty shot from like deep outside. He's pulling. And then I start watching closely and I'm like, he's pulling because he has to, because that's the only way he can like efficiently get that shot. There's some stuff that could come around, but I'm just saying like, I'm going into it this year kind of like open-minded. Cause I'm just like, hey, I just want to see what else you can show me. Like, last year I was like, dancing one night, like, hey, is this a modern Tayshaun? Like Tayshaun Prince, like 3-and-D? Great. And then I was like, okay, calm down, maybe get some sleep for once. So look, I get the intrigue. It's just I think he's gotta really hit the ground running and then open some eyes to get that steam back as a prospect. And I think he's got to do it for longer stretches this year. Can he do it? Absolutely. We always root for these guys. I just think he's got a bigger mountain to climb than some might expect.
Yeah. And you know, I think there's some fun like secondary and tertiary playmaking there, but they also have like a transfer coming in, Sean Newman Jr. from Louisiana Tech, where he had an assist rate over 40 last year. So I'm going to expect the ball to be in his hands quite a bit this year and kind of dictating the offense. So if Bird's biggest selling point as an offensive tool or offensive weapon is his creation, but he's not being able to show it, it's like, if he can't hit that threshold in college, that threshold is infinitely larger at an NBA level. So your question of what's the offensive sales pitch here, it gets tough. It gets tricky.
I will say it's always fun because one website still has the measurements from last year. And so it's always fun for me to compare that and the offseason team websites. Miles Bird last year was listed at 6'7", 190. What do you think San Diego State has him at right now? Hopefully this is true. This would be fun.
6'8", 205.
6'7", 215.
Ooh. That would be fun.
Kind of opened my eye a little bit. Now we're talking about something. The skinny guy, like, if he comes out, let's just have fun here. If he comes out, no long sleeves, is just, I put on 25 he's pounds. Just
chiseled.
Just chiseled, and he's just bully ball. I'm gonna be like, man, I will do a Miles Bird apology episode.
He's got Kawhi's shoulders.
Gosh, I watch Kawhi's San Diego State film this offseason. I was like, what were they thinking? Making him like, but hey, that's a big number.
Almost, yeah.
25 pounds.
That's a lot.
That's a big number.
That's a lot.
Like, I would be like, hey, San Diego State, you got some guts writing that down. But if that's true, then that's what you'd love to see of a guy that just like, oh, really? The league didn't want me. And now I'm, you know, like, I'm going to show everybody. Like, yeah, I'd love that. But let's wait and see. But it'd be great because I think that's what really could unlock a lot of his game, is get you excited. It's like, hey, if the physicality now all of a sudden comes into the picture and he can dish it out a little bit more, great.
Yeah, well, another guy where physicality may be an issue, his teammate Magoon Gwath, lanky floor spacing, 7-foot center, headed back to San Diego State. There were some rumblings that he was going to transfer, decided not to, had a block rate of 14.1 last year, 36.6% from three on just under 4 attempts per 100 possessions. Thoughts on Magoon?
Magoon was one of the most fun.
Are you part of Goon Squad?
Goon Squad, baby. I love the Goon Squad. I've literally sat at like 1 a.m. watching film, doing like trying to do graphics for next year, just getting some stuff prepped. And I've like been looking up Magoon stuff, and all of a sudden I just see the Goon Squad shirts, and I'm like, might need to be a purchase. This might need to happen. So I'm dancing with the devil on that one. Metcalf, last year when it was just like, hey, there was Magoon brought his way into our world. You turned that tape on. You have so much fun. You're just like, oh man, this guy is so fun. He's just this gigantic alien out there that bombs away and then blocks shots. So it's like, how can you not fall in love? I guess I'm just trying to figure out how legit is it?
Right.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm saying, how legit is it for the NBA level?
Yeah.
Because those guys are so special when it comes to like just being a physical specimen. But it's just like, can you do the other stuff in between? I don't know. Well, it hit me with it. What do you think?
Yeah. And I do worry about the strength or the lack thereof. You know, offensive rebounding rate of 8.8 is okay. Defensive at 15.4, not my favorite thing. Free throw rate only 31.3. And he's a really, he's a finesse big. He's a stretch five. And it's like, all right, how does this work in the NBA? I think it wouldn't shock me at all if he has a really good year at San Diego State. You know, blocks a ton of shots. I generally like the way he moves in space. But if he's up around 36-37% from three again on higher volume with a similar block rate, it's kind of an easy sales pitch at minimum of like, yeah, come be a backup or third string center. You know, you can work with that, but it's, can you control the paint at all? Can you control the boards? Or are you just this incredibly skinny floor spacing big who doesn't have a whole lot of passing chops and can't, and really struggles on the board. So I'm intrigued. I'm hopeful, but I'm also cautiously, I'm being patient.
Yeah, I mean, he averaged pretty much from December to March, was averaging around 9 points per game. His best stretch for February was 3.3 blocks per game and shot 36% from downtown. Can we talk about his first five games? This is maybe the best stat I've ever seen. His first five games of the year, 23 minutes, 3.2 points, 2.6 rebounds, 1.2 assists, four blocks on 16% from three. But it's just, it's one of those, like, you're keeping a close eye on it because he is a legit footer. He's got great length. He's got really eye-opening mobility. But it's like, if he takes a legit step and you're talking, like, like you said, Metcalf, like, we're getting higher volume from downtown and he's still hovering around mid-30s at that size with his fluidity and gifts and that shot blocking. Like, if he's, you know, if he's around 14 and 7 with that stuff, whew, you could talk me into it. Because then he's a weapon.
Yeah, like,
he's a unique weapon for an NBA team to be like, anything else we get is unbelievable, but he's going to be a matchup problem.
Like, could he do what Quinn Post did in Golden State or what Duaprith has been doing in Portland? Like,
I think people sleep on Post playmaking.
Well, and he's also significantly stronger than Guath, but like, yeah, and stylistically, those are kind of the low maintenance bigs where it's like, and Post also got cooked on defense.
Yeah, I mean, the whole town knows Frank, but I know what you're getting at.
But like that kind of style of big, is that underselling or too optimistic?
I mean, I hate that people are just gonna be like, oh, this is bull, but it's like, I also think like Magoon might have way better defense.
Yeah. His defensive instincts are significantly better. Like, you don't have a 14.1 block rate by gambling and guessing at everything.
And you watch him in the open court and you're like, oh my gosh, look how fluid he is. So it's not like clunky, like, oh, he's just loading up to block shots. Like, he's got really, so that's why I think this could, if he takes a step, you get really intrigued. Cause you're like, look, this is legit 3-and-D as a 7-footer with, you know, with like serious shot blocking stuff. So maybe you could even be like, hey, we'll put him next to a natural center and just go jumbo package at times. Johan Berenguer and Magoon Guath. Gosh, that sounds like a buddy. I don't know, Metcalf. He's one of the tough ones because I'm a root for him. I like, yeah, I like the game. I like the tools. It's just how ready is it for a sophomore leap? I watch him sometimes and I'm like, this might just be a junior guy, but wouldn't it be shocking to me if he's just taking another nice step this year.
The other name on San Diego State, who I think is not a this year guy, but someone to keep an eye on long-term, incoming freshman point guard, LZ Harrington, really fun slasher, playmaker, on-ball defender, shot needs work. It's just kind of slow and just, like, I don't think he's a bad shooter. I think it's workable. It's just kind of slow and looks a little unnatural right now. But intriguing long-term guy. Anything else for you on San Diego State?
No. Two legit names that I think were, if you're a draft sicko, you're going to be familiar with, that I think are firmly on everybody's radars. Yeah. But I think we're all just kind of waiting to see, like, is there going to be a legit step or do we kind of know what their game is? And with Magoon, I'm especially excited to watch the Goon Squad this year, part of the Goon Squad.
Okay, let's move on to Gonzaga then, who, yet again, just a bunch of returners and upperclassmen. Graham Ike, Braden Huff. They're obviously losing guys like Khalif Battle, Nolan Hickman, Ryan Nemhard. Where do you want to start with Gonzaga?
I feel like this has always been a team where there's always some guys you're like, oh, I do like them a little bit. I like Graham Ike. I've always liked Braden Huff a little bit more than I feel like. I don't know. His freshman year, I watched the Gonzaga game, and I was just like, what am I missing? I kind of like this guy. He can play. He's young. Like, looks like a potential, like, stretch big, maybe, that you just need to work on the in-between game. And I don't know. Am I crazy? Is there
no
sleeper potential?
I kind of like Huff.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, apologies for the drive-by here to the Biddle family. But, like, when Nate Biddles was getting all that late love last year, it's like, well, is Braden Huff really all that different?
I love the drive-by thing. Okay, we need to make that a bit.
He's got like really good scoring touch. I think he's a smart passer, really good ball security, solid defender. You know, and true shooting percentage of 60.3, block rate of 4, not ideal, but you know, not bad. And 28% from 3. So if he can get that up over 30 on similar or even just a little bit higher volume while continuing to incorporate some of the interior finishing stuff, he's an interesting guy to keep an eye on at least.
I just watched them and he's always got my attention. You look and you're like, okay, well, he's got this size and it's like, why doesn't he get more rebounds? And it's like, well, they're also just, I'm trying to figure out if that's more system stuff and playing with Graham Ike, and Huff seems to be more of like a perimeter big. So I don't know. It's just one of those names where you watch Gonzaga games sometime and you're like, man, Huff just keeps always like standing out, like in a good way. Like, and I think it's what you're saying. It's the basketball IQ and stuff. Seems like a guy that's either going to go like to the G League and someone's going to be smart and give him a shot, or he's going to make so much money overseas playing in the like, or he's just gonna hustle the crap out of people at the YMCA. Like, it's just like, I like the way he plays. He just plays the game a smart way. He also just sometimes I'm like, maybe you just needed to be like a 90s forward and you would have been a first round pick.
Maybe. I think the other two most interesting names are two of their incoming freshmen, Davis Fogel, I think number 32 on ESPN's top 100, and then coming over from Spain, Mario Saint-Supri. I think Fogel's really interesting. Maybe not this year guy, but really fun off-ball mover, off-ball creator, off-ball scorer with some fun passing stuff, rebounding. And my dog is harassing me because it's almost dinner time, so apologies for any grunting you may hear. I promise it's not me. But Fogel's a really interesting player, just has to get better, a little more consistent as a shooter. And then Saint-Supri, there's a lot of intrigue with him.
I like both of those. I think that's a good shout out. I do like, I've watched Fogel before. I've liked him. Both of their freshmen coming in, I think are a little bit more intriguing that you're like, hey, I'm going to keep an eye on Gonzaga to start the year because maybe there's something here. Saint-Supri, I feel like we did a FIBA thing. I was like, okay, this guy's got some stuff. I was excited when they got him late. So, yeah, I like that. Those are good two shout-outs. It's tough. Gonzaga, I feel like, just always doesn't have, like, the heavy hitter one and dones that were, you know, like, we had the Chet year, and I feel like since then it's just been, like,
the Chet and Suggs year were very fun years.
Very fun years. Now it seems like they're trying to be back to, like, okay, let's build guys that are going to, like,
oh, we're a program. Deep. Boo. Yeah. Boring.
Boo. Pass. Sell give me out stars. Again. No, I'm kidding. but you know, they are putting together some guys that really look like intriguing.
Yeah, like I think they could be a really good team come March. Also apparently Ty and Grant Foster might be back for year 14.
I think Maxwell in our group chat when they announced that he got cleared, Maxwell said like he can't keep getting away with it. And I was like, I couldn't stop laughing. And I love Tyon Grant Foster, but it's also like, did I love him 3 years ago?
And that's been that 3 years long? Before that. And
it's just like unbelievable.
But and like, I don't think I even love that fit. And it just doesn't feel like a Mark Few Gonzaga type player. But
no, it seems like a guy that needed a home. And Gonzaga was like, we'll take some talent, we'll figure it out. But I like TGF. You know, it's just older. That's all I got for Gonzaga. Go Bulldogs, huh?
All right, let's move on then to San Francisco, who probably have the biggest name returning guy in the mid-major, Tyrone Riley the 4th. Riley was potentially or started the year as like a sneaky, as like, oh, is this dude going to be a one and done? And then consistency tailed off a lot, but the intrigue was all still really there. Decided to stay at San Francisco, which suggests to me he's going to get the ball a ton and be able to experiment and run the show and do a lot more stuff and really surpass his really low usage rate from last year. Could Riley go first round?
Yeah, absolutely. I, spoiler alert for everyone, 30 for 30 or 30 and 30. The first video is Tyrone Riley. So that'll be up Saturday. That is tomorrow. As you're listening to this tomorrow, you can come back to the No Ceilings YouTube channel and watch me and Metcalf do crazy in-depth stuff with graphics and stuff on Tyrone Riley. So I still want to talk to him because I just love him. I you know, when I was talking it out with you and then we were kind of projecting like, hey, what needs to get better and talking out like scouting wise. And then you watch the film again, because that's what I always like to do, is like, all right, now let me go back and watch it and see if I can. Kid knows how to play. And if the weight gain is true, which is that's a plus 20, that's a big number. But like, I saw him in person this summer and I was like, he ain't 180. Like, he's got some pythons developing right now in his upper body. I think he's going to have a big year. A lot of smart stuff, Metcalf, and on tape. You said that a lot during that 30-30, but like, a lot of stuff you get really excited about when it just comes to like the winning plays. I think it was like the off-ball movement, or we just happened to talk about four straight guys that are really good off-ball movers. But I think I with Riley, I just really see a path for him to be a first round guy, because he's a sophomore, but he's also a sophomore that every NBA team is like buzzing about, of like, this is the guy we think is going to break out. And then he had that good USA mini camp.
Yeah.
Which I always think is, I think that's like gold to NBA scouts. I think that's where they start.
They love that camp.
They love that camp. They go crazy for that camp, or we just, you know, have the same people that we talk about. It's just like they seem like they,
yeah,
I like him for next year. So I don't know.
Yeah, my big thing with him is, all right, who are you going to be? Because if you're going to be an off-ball wing, off-ball shooting guard, I desperately need more than 32.6% on just 5.4 attempts per 100.
Right,
I need the volume significantly higher, and I need the efficiency significantly higher. Now, if those don't come and he's trying to be more of a combo guard, more of an on-ball decision maker, like I'm going to need significantly more than a 6.5 assist rate and significantly more than 8 pick and roll possessions from last year and 0 isolation possessions from last year. So I'm perplexed, because it's like, I don't know who you really are as a player yet. And I'm excited for him to show us. And I'm assuming that was the whole sales pitch for getting him to stay at San Francisco instead of transferring up to a power program. But whichever route he goes down, there still have to be major developments, despite how excited and intrigued we are with the flashes that we got his freshman year.
Yeah. It's just when you're when I'm evaluating and I'm looking for the potential leap guy, this is the poster child. Like, it's just when you're watching and you're like, everything's telling me the confidence is building. Like with Jaden Ivey, everyone saw it coming from a mile away, because you just saw how he ended the year. And you're like, if he attacks this offseason, he's going to be a bad man next year. And it's like, watching Riley on film last year, you're like, he's not ready right now, but there's stuff here. Like, I've got to make sure to circle this name. And then you pair that with like the offseason he's had. And like, I don't care what you say. Like, I saw him in person, and if he put on 20 pounds good weight, you're not doing that just by sitting around and doing nothing. Like, he was cut up. He's stocky. So it just also seems like it might be a kid that's like, hey, I don't even know how good I can get. Like, right. I'm starting to feel more confident, but I don't even know what my game is right now. So that's where I get excited, is like, hey, he might start realizing now, like, can bully my way to the basket a little easier. I can dish out some punishment offensively off the bounce. I'm with you. The handle, we got to see something. Like, what are you with the ball in your hands? Because I think there's some good connecting flashes. But it's, you know, I think he's like, are we going to see the 3-point shot consistently? And I'm right now at the point where I'm like, I've seen him off ball. I've seen him in transition. I know the athleticism. I want to see the in-between game. Like, can you dish out punishment offensively? Seen some hustle plays, seen him attack the boards. That's all going to get a lot easier now when you got a little bit of extra weight to throw around.
Absolutely. Anything else with Tyrone Riley or San Francisco?
No, he rocks. Right. Go Dons.
Where do you want to jump to next? We're probably just, we're pretty much bouncing around from this point on.
Rapid fire, good. You know, I St. Mary's has got a couple guys intrigued to kind of just see. Now, I'm not saying these are like, hey, these are top 60 on my boards, but like, this is the time of the year where I'm trying to keep an eye on some names of like, these could wonder if they had an amazing offseason and they're really cementing themselves. I like Mikey Lewis as a guy keeping an eye on. He was a 6'3 point guard freshman last year that was around 180. Just when you watched, I was just kind of like, this looks like it's a good sophomore leap candidate. So I'm keeping an eye on him. And then I'm going to say his name wrong, but here we go. Metcalf is preseason.
I'm not bailing out on this one.
Maraskis, Paulus Maraskis at St. Mary's. Going to be a junior, 6'8", 235. Just want to see the kind of jump. I obviously have a soft spot for some St. Mary's prospects because I grew up going to some of those games and it's a good program. Just want to kind of see, I like how they always get some international guys too, to kind of let them groom and develop. So just keeping an eye on those two. Any ones for you? I mean, those aren't the only ones I have, but I'm just throwing out patient.
Not with St. Mary's, but I think a big one to keep an eye on is Mason Falslev, from Utah State. Really started to come on last year towards the end of the season. Fun shooter, 38% from three, but also good rebounder, some real passing stuff to his game too. Steal rate of 4.2, really encouraging stuff, but just one of those guys that kind of kept popping up as the season went on and sprinkling in some really, really good versatility. And it wouldn't shock me if he really emerges as like a legit guy this year that starts to get in some conversations.
Yeah, he was the one I thought we were going to probably talk a little bit about. Man, he's fun.
Yeah,
he's the weird one on the fence right now where I'm like, are you just a really good college player, or could we get serious about the NBA stuff? Because, you know, he comes down in transition and throws down like a angry taunt, like slam on someone, and you're like, where the heck did that come from? And then he's got some really good feel and like vision stuff, and got a little bit of that old school like side set shot, but it's also like quick too. It a lot of tools that I like. Yeah. So I think Maxwell also had him in one of his No Stones Unturned piece. Shocker, Maxwell has a guy in the No Stone piece, but go check that out at NoCeilingsNBA.com. But yeah, so I mean, definitely on my radar. When we wanted to do mid-major, I was like, oh, that's going to be Utah State. Let's talk about my guy. So I like that one. That's a good shout.
Yeah, and I just something I'm really intrigued on is just to see how the like on-ball scoring continues to develop, because there's some really encouraging playmaking numbers and film, obviously, with him. You know, assist rate of 21.7. But then when you even just look at his pick-and-roll ball handler possessions, 22nd percentile in scoring, don't love that. Not great, Bob. But when you include his passing, jumps up to the 76th percentile. So I think there's some sneaky, like, combo guard stuff with him down the road, obviously depending on how this year goes for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who you got?
I'm gonna go Quentin Jones, gonna be at St. Louis. Just intrigued. There's just one of those guys, you looked at the numbers and you kind of get a little bit excited of like, oh, we're taking steps forward. He's a freshman at Cal Poly, then went to Northern Illinois last year. Had 16, 4, and 3 on 45, 35, 76. Now he's going to go to St. Louis. I just those are the guys I kind of just keep an eye on. I'm like, okay, you got my curiosity a little bit, you know, 6'5", 180. Got my attention. Going to be a junior. So, I'm keeping an eye on Quentin Jones.
My next one, this is a guy I immediately fell in love with last year. I saw him in person a couple times. No Ceilings Plus subscribers will know about him because he was in a couple of those write-ups. Nolan Minasal from St. Thomas. This kid rocks. 6'5", sophomore, really good frame. He was a little skinny last year, you know, needs to bulk up a little bit, but insane motor, really good physicality. When I saw him against Money Williams and he was the best player on the court, I saw him against Jackson Money and he was the best player on the court. He was guarding Money for a lot of that game and just bullying him as a 6'5 guard. Really fun player. 63.5 true shooting percentage last year, but the defensive end was sublime. Block rate of 5, steal rate of 2.6, has to figure out the shot. It looked last year, the way he would go through warmups and stuff, like he was almost overhauling it and reworking it because it was really slow, it was really methodical, and he just seemed really focused on keeping everything in place, which ties into, you know, relatively low volume from outside. Raw percentage is okay, but the way this kid gets to the rim, passes out of drives, cuts off ball, rebounds, defends, it's really fun stuff. And I was shocked that he didn't transfer out.
Wow. You getting a cut from the agency or what? No, I'm kidding. That's a good one. See what else I got. You know, Aiden Mahaney, I can't stop loving. I thought he was gonna rock, so I can't sell. I thought he was gonna be solid, like sleeper.
Where'd he transfer to again?
He's gonna be at UCSB. Mm. He's doing the country tour, which is never a good sign. But I still liked him. What else? I'm gonna say his name wrong. Sam Orme, One of those three has to be good. Belmont. I'm going to be honest. I read one of Maxwell's pieces, The No Stone Unturned, and there's this 6'9 sniper. And I was like, who's this guy? I've never had anyone talk about him until Maxwell brings him up. So 6'9 sniper, really good looking shot. I just wrote his name down. And, you know, if you read No Stone Unturned, we get comments all the time in our Discord. Shout out to you guys. A lot of those guys are like, gosh, I love this segment. And we're like, yeah, Maxwell's a madman with that. That's his Super Bowl. So that's another one for me, Metcalf. What about you?
A couple from Boise State.
We're getting deep. Anytime you get to Boise State, you're getting deep. Sorry. Go Broncos.
Andrew Meadow, I thought was interesting last year. Yeah. 6'7", off-ball scorer. You know, is he going to pass ever? No. Do I need him to? Not sure. But if the shooting takes another leap and gets a little more consistent, I'm intrigued with him. And then also incoming freshman Spencer Aarons, apologies on pronunciation, Aarens. He was in the FIBA U19 with Canada over the summer and played really, really well. Another taller wing with really good shooting range, solid rebounder, showed some stuff, you know, a little stiff as an athlete, but some intriguing tools for the long term.
Only final name I had was Rafael Castro, who's at GW. It's George Washington for people that aren't, you know, hip on the street. He's going to be a senior. 14 and 9 with 1.4 blocks and 1.2 steals last year. Doesn't shoot it from three, but
it's always tough when we try and, you know, like, oh God, I found the steep cut. I really like him. Oh, the motor, the passing, the finishing, the frame.
Can't try to slip that through. Try to slip that through, and he just like had to make it a thing. So he's 6'11", 220, or he was last year.
Oh, he's big.
Be a senior. So 66-0-63. We don't need to worry about the middle number. So yeah, there you go.
If you're 6'11", I don't necessarily
need you to shoot. Yeah, I don't need you to shoot it. Just hit, well, you know, let's get those, let's get up to like 17 and 12 this year and have a talk. Like, yeah, just, you know, we'll see what happens. It's get weird a little bit.
The worst thing is like when you're going through box scores, just like, all right, who popped today? And it's like some random guy from a mid-major goes off for like 40 and 15 and 8, and you're like, oh my god, I just found the diamond in the rough. And then you click on him and it's some like 5'10 point guard who's 25 years old and has a career 3-point percentage of like 8.
And you're like, if you evaluate and scout and have fun doing this, we all do it.
Oh, just all the time.
So many times last year, I'm like, oh, that's a big game. I pull it up, 6'1", 27 years old. Nope. No, not going to happen.
All right. Last couple for me. Loyola, Chicago, Miles Rubin. Can't stop, won't stop.
Can't stop.
Still really, really like him. Not sure if I should be worried or not that he hasn't transferred up. Desperately need him to make that leap. He was awesome as a freshman. Wrote about him then. Fun sophomore season as well. Max Wells ran about him. I believe he was in his no stone unturned over this summer too. But really fun athletic shot blocker. Just really needs to take that leap. Another guy who was at FIBA U19 over the summer. Really, really, really awesome play with Switzerland. Day and Nessa going to Cleveland State. Toolsy wing. Really fun player. Hopefully what he showed this summer translates over. And then lastly, fun scoring guard in Money Williams going back to Montana. Got to see him in person last year. Just need the defensive consistency to improve a little bit. Fun score, some fun passing stuff too. Just it'll be interesting to see it all hopefully come together this year.
I'll throw we're in the trust tree within the nest, are we not? Okay, so I'm going to throw one out there that's just like a what? But hey, let's have fun. Rayshon Seamster.
Okay.
He's like 6'8", 200, like one of those freak of nature you built in a lab, moves all over the place forwards that like doesn't shoot a bunch, but just like looks like an NBA. He moves that way. If he could shoot it at all, I'd probably be like, hey, like let's talk. But, that's,
so he's
more of like a defensive, yeah. So maybe like more of a defensive maniac. No, I'd probably like Rashear's build a little bit more if Rayshon had that. I'd probably be like, hey, it's a real alien. But no, he just one of those guys. Is just like, man, he covers a lot of ground, and maybe if he buys in to just be a defensive maniac, maybe he could get. I don't know, UT Arlington folks. There's your deep cut.
So no one from Memphis's fourth straight entirely new team.
Well, Aaron Bradshaw's doing the country tour too. Him and Aiden Mahaney have gotten a good points. So I always like Aaron Bradshaw, root for him. Plays hard. You play hard, I'll always root for you.
Doug McDaniel, he's fun. He's tiny, but he's fun at least. It's always fun when the expected to return column just says none. And then the incoming transfers is 15 names. It's just insane stuff. It must be
a return none.
It must be a horrible way to have to build a program. And Memphis isn't the only one who is doing it. And just
should we're always like, hey, like you said earlier about Miles Rubin, it's like, is it bad that he has a transfer? Is it bad? What if kids are just like, hey, I'm happy here.
Screw your happiness. I'm trying to evaluate you.
I would love that if a kid was just like, I like it here. I don't need to go.
Well, yeah, of course. Miles Rubin, I believe, is also from Chicago, so he stayed home.
What is he, like, going to go to Illinois and be, like, their sixth guy? It's like, I think he'd probably just rather be like,
he's not from the Balkans, so I don't think they would.
You know what I mean. Oh, that was good. That was a good joke. I shouldn't have jumped on that.
No, it's cool. Just trample over humor. You.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's all right. But all right. I get it.
Anything else you got?
No. Mid-majors are always tough because we're, especially now with the portal, because we're always just like, if you're that big of a name, you probably transferred. And if you're not, then we're really rolling the dice on being like, could this happen? But it's always fun to just dive into the depths and be like, let me educate myself, because there is those games during college basketball mid-calf where we're like, man, there's really nothing on tonight. And you're like, well, I'm glad I listened to the No Ceilings mid-major episode, because I do know Money Williams and Montana are on ESPN 8, the Ocho.
This is also an episode that we could very easily do in like 3 months once some guys inevitably start emerging, where you know, where Bennett Sturts starts to come into the fold. Right, it's like, right, who is this guy? So there will inevitably be a ton of those guys. But there's the transfer portal has definitely hit the mid-majors. This year felt a little more aggressive than the past couple, but we will be back next week, I believe, with the pausing for dramatic effect.
We got heavy hitters coming, folks.
Big East preview next week. That should be a fun one. Then we're going on to ACC or SEC and then wrapping up with the ACC. College basketball is right around the corner. NBA preseason has started. Make sure to check out the No Ceilings YouTube for the 30 and 30 series that we're doing. 30 prospects in 30 days. Should be a blast. But until next time, he is Tyler Rucker. You can follow him at Tyler_Rucker. I am Tyler Metcalf. You can follow me at Team Metcalf 11. Rate, review, subscribe, 5 stars, all that good stuff. Until next time, see ya.